Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is episode 123 of Art for Your Ear. This episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Visit their gorgeous lineup of artists at saatchiart.com. And this being the first episode of the month, it is also co-sponsored by the amazing women at Thrive Mastermind. These groups are unbelievably helpful. Each Thrive Mastermind group is made up of 10 women who meet every month, either in person in Vancouver or in one of the many online groups, to talk about the ups and downs of being artists. I'm in one of the online groups and I love it. If you're looking for this kind of support and accountability, head to their website, thriveartstudio.com. So today's episode is coming to you from Hawaii. Well, kind of. It was recorded earlier this week from snowy Canada, but now I am in Maui. And not only am I in Hawaii, so is my guest. Yep, I am talking to a very prolific artist who also happens to be a teacher at the University of Hawaii. Wendy Kawabata makes so many beautiful things, from paintings to drawings to needle hole drawings. What is a needle hole drawing, you ask? Oh, don't worry, we're going to get to that. I'm also going to find out if she recommends pina coladas or Mai Tais. You know, the important hard-hitting questions. So, let's get on with this aloha episode, shall we? Calling Wendy in Hawaii. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
It's so good to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, too, to meet you.
Yeah, I know. This is going to be fun. I don't know when I wrote about you, a few years ago.
Yeah. I think you were in Hawaii, or you?
I was, and I am about to be again. That is why I was thinking about you. And I don't think I had the podcast back then. And so, actually, we leave on Friday, and this will go up on Friday. So as we are, I'm going to actually post this from Maui.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I know. So I'm always in awe of people who actually live in Hawaii because, you know, it's just such a beautiful place. So I want to hear how you ended up being in Hawaii, but we're gonna go all the way back. And I want to hear, because you did not grow up in Hawaii. So where did you grow up, and were you an artsy kid back then?
Well, I grew up in Michigan, in Lansing, Michigan.
That's a little farther from Hawaii.
Yeah, really, very far away. We went ice skating and played hockey.
Yeah.
Super different, very different. But people probably know the town best from Michigan State University, and Lansing is the capital. It's a very working class auto town. Was much more so an auto town back then.
And so Were you, like, was there any art around you, or were you making art at home?
Well, I was pretty artsy, yeah. I came home every day and I drew. I had a pile of paper on the coffee table that my mom would stock me with. And I would just draw obsessively a lot of the time, most afternoons. But I didn't grow up in an artsy family. My mom did paint before I was born. And my aunt painted. And they're both, my aunt is a master quilter now. Oh. And my mom knits and sews and crochets, and she sewed clothes for us and clothes for our Barbies. And so honestly, I think if you look at my work, that certainly informed my aesthetic and my mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. Like all of your different series are flashing through my mind right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So did you sew and stuff, or did you mainly watch them?
You know, I learned how to do all of it, but it's actually really funny. When I made the project of all of the logs that are wearing sweaters, they're crocheted sweaters.
Uh-huh.
I was working on that next to my mom, and she saw the stitch that I was doing, and I'd forgotten how she taught me, and I had just made up a stitch that doesn't exist, and so she had to reteach me how to do it the proper way.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. How old were you when you guys were doing that? Like a grown up?
A grown up.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and was she horrified that the stitch wasn't
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. But my first exposure to fine art was probably through the board game Masterpiece.
Oh, I don't know that.
I don't know if you know that game.
No.
It's all of these cards. You go around the board and you purchase artworks. I think all of them or most of them are from the Art Institute of Chicago.
Wow, that's cool. It's like Monopoly, but for art?
Monopoly, but for art, yeah.
Wow.
And you want to get the $1 million painting, and I would just stare at those cards.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't even know. I wonder if that's still around.
You probably get it on eBay.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I had never heard of that. I would have been obsessed with that when I was a kid, too.
Yeah.
And so did you think you would be an artist when you grew up? Was that, like, even an option in your brain?
You know, it's kind of I don't know if anybody has ever felt this way that you've talked to, but I always feel like I knew I wanted to be an artist, but I didn't really know what an artist was.
Yeah.
Or what an artist did, what that would look like in practical terms.
Right. But you knew you had to be making stuff. Yeah. Did you take a break in between high school and your BFA, or did you just go straight in?
I did a year at the community college in my town.
Mm-hmm.
But I was really just, you know, staring at the clock, trying to get out of the Midwest. And so I moved to Boston, and I went to Mass Art after a year at the community college.
Wow, and what did you think?
Yeah.
Were you just in heaven when you showed up at Mass Art?
It was a little overwhelming.
Yeah.
But it was a great experience overall. But it was, Mass Art had, I don't know what it's like now, but they had a, you know, pretty broad range of teachers, you know, those who were, you know, straight out of the conceptual mindset of the 60s and 70s, and then those who were more classical. And so, you know, sometimes I really didn't know what was hitting me. And I think I was pretty shy. And I also was fairly obsessed with reading. And so I ended up getting a BFA in art history.
Oh.
Yeah.
I loved art history so much. I minored in it. And I could have easily switched and just done art history.
Yeah, well, it's that masterpiece game again, right?
Yeah, there you go. Well, that's what I was going to ask. If you've got half your teachers that are conceptual and half of them are classical, I'm assuming you were leaning towards the classical ones.
I did, yeah.
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 I went to a super conceptual school, and I found it really hard. It just wasn't right for my little 18-year-old brain. I went to the University of Victoria on the west coast of Canada.
Oh.
And it was just really, well, I went to that school for marine biology because that's what they're known for. And that's what I thought I was going to study because I was, same as you, I loved art, but I didn't think, I don't know, that you go to school for it and become an artist. And so I picked it for marine biology because it's so good. And then I switched to fine art. And I always say this when I speak to students that are about to graduate, do your research, because I just stayed in my same school and switched programs. And it just, had I researched, I would have found out how conceptual it was and realized it wasn't right for me, and I would have gone somewhere else probably. But anyway, hindsight. But
yeah,
I had a really hard time with that at that age.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very young.
Yeah.
And now as a teacher, you know, I teach drawing and painting primarily in color. I've had to fill in a lot of information along the way, and not that all of everything I've learned could have fit into that time in my BFA, but I felt like I would have done better in a little bit more foundational
program. And you know, some of the people just were perfect, you know, in the conceptual, and some people weren't, and so I think you just have to realize the kind of person you are heading in. And yeah, it is. That's why I always ask, like, did you take a break between high school? And because if you're going in at 18, 19, that's so young. So it is tricky to be super conceptual when you have nothing to draw on at that stage. And so you switched to art history, but were you still doing art courses, or did you just do complete art history?
The way their degree is at Mass Art, it's a BFA, and so I actually took as many studio art classes as my studio undergrads take now at university.
Wow.
So I took drawing and painting and printmaking and assemblage and video and...
You dabbled. And so what was drawing, because you said you were drawing when you were little, and were you still mainly drawing, or was it you were just really trying everything?
Primarily drawing and painting and printmaking.
Yeah. Oh, I loved printmaking too. Do you still do printmaking?
I don't, and I should, because we have a great printmaking area.
I know. That's what I always think about people that are like working artists and teachers. It's like, ooh, you have all that stuff.
And no time.
Yeah, and no time. Exactly. And then you did your MFA too.
Yeah, I did my master's at the University of New Mexico.
And so was that right after your BFA?
No, there were a few years in between. I moved to Ireland and lived there for a few years and traveled around Europe. And then I came back to the United States and was in San Francisco for a couple of years.
Hmm.
And I worked for a professional artist there who kept telling me, you should get your master's. You really should get your master's. So
and why'd I took you pick her New, advice. Why'd you pick New Mexico?
You know, it kept coming up to me that people would tell me that that was the place for me. That they felt like I'd really enjoy it there. And so I took their advice.
And did you enjoy it there?
Yeah, very much so.
And so what did you focus on during that time?
Well, I went into the program in drawing and painting.
Mm-hmm.
And my thesis was painting and drawing and fiber elements in it. So that's where the connection to fiber really started.
And so when that was happening, and you're sort of starting to play around with fiber, were you having flashbacks to, you know, your family?
Yeah.
And is that why you started to bring it in? Or because New Mexico, like, they're quite known. Like, isn't there, like, lots of, like, I've heard people doing residencies in dyeing, like, natural dyes and things. Like, was that, were you exposed to that?
No, actually, you know, I think it was the art history that I was taking there and the grad seminars that I was taking.
Oh.
And just kind of dealing with this, I don't know, the sort of classification that I, you know, hierarchies of ways of making that I hadn't really considered before.
Mm.
And the prevailing idea that there should be some sort of muscle and masculinity behind painting. And, you know, at the same time I'm reading, you know, The Subversive Stitch and learning about artists that I didn't even know about. So I felt like it was, for me, it was really important to sort of go down that road.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was taught. Yeah. That's what I did learn and was surrounded by when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's sort of this whole art, is it craft extravaganza?
Yeah. And everything that my mom and my aunt had exposed me to actually was a long dialogue.
Mm-hmm. I find that so fascinating. I've never done my master's, but I was applying to a few schools thinking that I would, and that's what I wanted my thesis to be about, was this whole art versus craft, like,
yeah,
because I find it fascinating that as soon as there's a thread on there, people are like, whoa, is that art? I don't know. It's like, well, why not? I
don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So that has always fascinated me. And so what was there any pushback from other students or professors, or were people all in?
Everybody was very supportive.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had great faculty there.
Mm-hmm. And so did you kind of keep on playing with that as you went on? I mean, there's things in your work now that still reference that, so I guess so.
Yeah, I met my husband in the grad program, and we had a son who is, he's 14 now, he's almost 15. And the big thing for me leaving grad school was that, and having my son, was that I just wanted to keep working through that.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to stop me. I didn't want there to be such a long pause that I didn't get back to the studio.
Right.
I wanted to keep that methodology going. And, you know, when you have a little kid, I don't know if you have kids.
I do. I have an 11-year-old son.
Okay.
You know. I know. That's why I laughed when you said you
As you know, when you have a little baby, you have these small slots of time.
Yeah.
And
that you can either choose to sleep in or make art.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Collapse.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of sort of piecework where, and that's where a lot of the repetition as a structure for my work came in. Because if I always, and I tell my students this, I always think of this, I think it's in Fires by Raymond Carver, where he says that he was asked once why he predominantly wrote short stories and poems and not novels. And he said, by 18, I was fighting, I had two kids and I was fighting people for the dryer at the laundromat. My life didn't have space, you know, that extended space and time to produce a novel in. And so for me, that was how I kept going, was to just think about, okay, well, what kind of making is going to dovetail with the life that I have now? And as my son has gotten older, then that's expanded. And I'm actually oil painting now after many years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. That's so cool. Yeah. Because now he just leaves you alone probably, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He doesn't want to get picked up anymore. Well, picked up and dropped off maybe, but not picked up and cuddled.
Yeah, he has his own social calendar.
I know. I find that too now that, you know, because I'm a mom, people say, well, you know, how do you have time? And they're like, well, he's 11. And, you know, he's at basketball right now and he's got soccer and he's got sleepovers and, you know, there's time. But when they're little, you don't have time. That is so smart, actually, to, so did you get that advice from somebody or was it from that quote? Like, did you consciously think, right, I'm going to just, you know, do projects that I, you know, or ways of making that will suit this? Or did you kind of stumble into that just because you realized you only had an hour here and there?
Well, you know, when I was in undergrad for my art history thesis, I actually, you know, all those years before when it wasn't even, I didn't even think I wanted to have kids, I wrote my thesis. It was a research paper on motherhood and art making.
Yeah.
Yeah. So looking at people like Frida Kahlo and Georgia O'Keeffe, and I interviewed a number of women who were professional artists in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And they all told me it wasn't possible to do both.
And did any of them have children?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said that, you know, they basically stopped. It was too hard.
So what did you think when you got pregnant? Were you like, oh, no. Like, were you scared that your art was going to go away?
No, I just felt like I had a plan.
Yeah.
It made me more determined, you know?
Yep. Yeah. You know, it is so funny. I just yesterday finished writing my newest book. I feel like I need a drink. Oh. That's why I'm going to go to Hawaii and have some, yeah, have a few lava flows and relax. But it's all about women artists. And some of them have children, some of them don't. And so I asked them sort of all that question about, you know, especially the ones that I know do, like some of them have four kids and they're these hugely successful full-time artists. And it's like, okay, tell me your secret. And B, I wanted that in the book because I wanted people to realize, like, if you choose to have a family and choose to be an artist, you can do it. You just, exactly like what you said, you have to have a plan. you know, yeah. And I just wanted to prove it because I had the same thing, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, well, you can't, don't ever expect to be taken seriously if you're an artist and a mother. And it's like, well, why? Like, there's fathers who are artists and people take them seriously. So why can't I, you know,
parents
and not just the mother. And so anyway, I think that's amazing that you did that even when, like that long ago and when you weren't even thinking of having them.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you wrote the book.
Yeah, me too.
To read it.
Yeah.
What's the name of it?
I don't know if I'm allowed to say yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it will be out in the fall, this fall. Okay. Yeah, but I'm so excited because that was my other thing was during my, and I don't know if you found this too, but during my art history, we're probably close to the same age, you and I, and I remember thinking like, you know, I was an art student, but I was minoring in art history. And I remember thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to be an artist when I grow up. And then I would take these art history classes and there was not a breath of a woman, well, except Frida Kahlo, like, but nobody ever, there's no women. And so I was just like, but who came before us? You know, and the teachers were all like, oh, well, there were women, but like they weren't really documented. So, you know, we can't really teach you about it if we don't have the information. And so now that's why I wrote this book, because I was like, well, these women are alive right now. Before they're dead, I'm going to go ask them all my questions and actually document them properly.
Nice. Well done.
Yeah. So it was so satisfying. And it was as the book was ending, like I was getting closer and closer to my deadline, but I was actually on track to finish. You know, when you read a really good book and you've got a chapter left to go and you like only read a paragraph at a time because you don't want it to be over.
Yeah. That's doing what I was, right now.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
That's what I was doing with this book. Like, I just didn't want it to be done. Like, I loved working on it. I loved being lost in these stories. And, you know, like, they're all not sunshiny stories. There's hardships and there's struggles and there's victories. And it was just, I'm so sad now. Like, thank goodness I have Hawaii to look forward to because it's just sort of like, it to be done. But anyway, now I just have to wait 8 months or something and then I get to share it with everybody. But
yeah
that's
it's
so
very
cool.
Warm here now. It's really warm here now.
Oh yeah, it's humid, right?
It is. It's pretty humid. Yeah.
I keep seeing the weather reports. Well, you know what, it just snowed here a couple days ago, so I will take humidity happily.
Okay.
And so okay, well, let's talk about somewhere cold.
Okay.
Iceland.
Yeah
didn't you go what did I write down? 2011. Was that for a residency?
Yeah. I did I had sabbatical,
mm-hmm.
and I did a month-long residency.
Wow.
In a place called Ness, which is in the northern fjords, in a little town named Skagastrand.
Wow.
Which is apparently the country music capital of Iceland.
Did you take part in any hoedowns?
Hoedowns?
Yeah.
Well, we went to the country bar.
So funny. Oh, my dog is barking now. Well, I can't even edit that out. And so hang on, let me just pause because I will try and cut this out.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm just going to yell at him. Murphy! Murph! No!
Murphy.
There you go. Good boy. Oh, Murph. Oh, brother. There's probably somebody drove up our driveway.
Mm-hmm.
Some horrible thing like that. Don't want anybody near the premises. Okay, whatever. We'll just keep going if he's barking in the background. Okay, so residency in Iceland. And so you were there for a month? Did you take your husband and son or did you go on your own?
I took my son. My husband couldn't get work off. So we're going to have to go back to Iceland and bring him. But I brought my son.
What did he
think? And he wants, for a long time, he wanted to move back.
Yeah.
And be a fisherman.
That's exactly what Charlie wants to, he wants to live there and be a fisherman and have a little red house. He's already, you know, how they all painted out. He wants a red one.
Have you been?
No.
No?
I guess I have to now. But so had you been there before?
I hadn't been there before. No. But I met an Icelandic artist who came and gave a talk at, my department.
Okay. And where were you then? You weren't in Hawaii then.
Here in Hawaii.
Oh, you were. Okay.
Yeah. And I just really loved, her approach to her talk,
mm-hmm.
and the way she described it as being a place where you can make work with a lot of peace, you know, a lot of wild, undisturbed nature. And I don't know if you've been to Honolulu.
Yes, I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty densely populated, and I just felt like I wanted a residency experience that was going to give me something very different.
Yeah, that's very different, all right. And yeah. I have a friend that's there right now at a one-month-long residency, and she's just, you know, it's a life changer.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of work were you playing around with while you were there?
Well, I could really only bring what I could carry.
Yeah.
You know, to work with. And so I brought a couple pads of drawing paper and colored pencils and a lot of yarn and crochet hooks and knitting needles and a camera.
Wow.
And I didn't really know what I was going to do. I did a fair amount of drawing, but that's, that's where the in the land or grow in light installation, the fiber installation started with there.
Okay. That piece is just so beautiful. And so did you start making those flower shapes there?
It was the beginning of it was there. And then when I returned, that's when I really went into production.
Wow. That is just so cool. And the colors from that are bang on too. Cause you painted on top of the crocheted flowers, right?
I crocheted them and then I, dipped them in paint.
Oh
yeah.
I was trying to figure out on the website. I was looking at the close up and I was trying to figure out what you had done, and I'm reading the materials list and I was like, okay, I got to ask about that. And so what is that all about, that piece?
I went there thinking that, you know, Iceland would be the place where I would sort of find, you know, the wild, untouched. And I definitely found that. We did some beautiful hikes in the mountains or surrounding foothills of the town that we were in. But I also learned about the Alcoa company and their involvement in Iceland with aluminum production.
Oh.
And it's actually destroyed a pretty large portion of the landscape there in the northeast.
Oh,
yeah, northeast.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I was interested in that weird rumbling and tension between the image of the place and
what was really going down.
What was really going down.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty ugly.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that in the production of aluminum, the land doesn't come back from that. Mining of bauxite or aluminum, it demolishes the ecosystem.
Oh my gosh. And that's sort of, did you see the proof of that? Like, were you in, is that the area you were in?
I didn't go personally, no.
Yeah. Wow. That's, I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And so as I made that piece sort of a few times, it was because I sold the original and then, kind of played with it in different formats. And so, eventually, I included cast aluminum versions of the flowers.
Oh, wow. Was that, because you had that show in Honolulu, right? Was it in that show?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. See, this is me just poking around somebody's website trying to connect all the dots.
Yeah.
That's the handy thing about a podcast. Then I can have you just explain it to me.
Right.
And so... wow, that's so much work. Do you even have any idea how many flowers are on there?
There are Yeah. In that most recent version, there were like 995.
Wow.
Ish.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Do you have your own studio space, or do you work at the school? Like, do you have a space at school?
I have a space at school, but I also have a space at home.
Okay.
Which also doubles as a location for our washer and dryer.
Yes.
But it's nice. It's a sunroom.
That's nice. And where do you do more work, at home or there at school?
Definitely at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
I work at night a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's teaching is so, it's such a demanding job. I've taught a little bit here and there, and I applaud all teachers because, my gosh, that is, it's very consuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that was one of my questions for you, which is further down, but I'm going to just ask you right now. Do you find that, I mean, you've been teaching for a while, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so do you find that it fuels your own creativity, or does it drain you? Or both, or depending on the day.
Depending yeah. on the day.
Yeah.
I've been here at the University of Hawaii since 2005.
Okay.
And I think at this point I've learned how to do it.
Right.
You know, how to balance all of that.
Mm-hmm.
My latest paintings came completely out of teaching a color course, advanced color, and you know, teaching myself as much as I could about it and the history of it,
yeah.
you know, how it's changed, how different artists have handled light and space over time. And so that had a tremendous amount to do with me going back to painting and being in the studio, yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. How did it feel to start painting again, like with
really
oils?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, it took a while to kind of find my point of entry.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the pieces that almost look like plaid, like that, you know, that with the pattern on them.
The on paper?
Yeah.
Thank you.
How big are those?
They're 30 by 30.
Oh,
some
wow.
are smaller than that.
Yeah, yeah. And so is that mainly what you're doing now, painting, or are you still, are there all sorts of things happening in your studio?
I'm painting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about the painting.
Yeah, that's so great.
I actually have a group show coming up here at UH.
Oh.
That I organized with some friends of mine. It's called Material Slip.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still thinking about, you know, just this. I think the plaid paintings, it's that intersection of fiber and drawing again. And so
yeah.
I'm going to show that work.
Is there fiber on there, or are you drawing fibers?
I'm drawing fibers.
Okay, because you do have some pieces that actually have pieces of fabric, or are those drawings of pieces of fabric?
Those are pieces of fabric.
Okay. Yeah. See, now, because we're talking about all of this, I can put all of it in the post. I was going through your site, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we got to talk about that and that and that and that. Okay, so while I'm thinking of it, your series called Acts.
Yeah.
Are those, that's drawing, or are those little paintings?
That is gouache and colored pencil on paper.
They are so beautiful. What year is that, those from?
Oh, thank you. Oh, I don't remember.
Like a lot, are they from a long time ago? They're further
They're
down in your site.
Like, 8-ish years ago,
okay.
9. Maybe.
And can I ask a question? So is there some writing in some of those little loop-de-loos?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, am I going crazy, or am I reading Mama? Does it say Mama in one of them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there's Mama in there, and little messages, little hidden messages.
I love it. That, and is that you as a mama, or is that your mama? Or all mamas? Who's that mama?
That's my son. Saying mama.
Oh,
I don't know if you, yeah, as a mom, you're all, you hear that almost like a chant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking of that this morning. We were right before bed last night. We were watching old videos of Charlie when he was really little, and you know, and calling me mama. And you'd hear them from the crib, ma, 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 to come and pick you up. And I was thinking, gosh, it's been a long time since I've heard that. You know, it's just so different now. But and we're watching these videos, and it's like, how is that the same person that's standing here beside me who's almost as tall as me now?
Yeah.
I know, it's so crazy. That's so beautiful. And it's I love it when, back to the mothers being artists things, when I was just talking on the podcast a few episodes ago with somebody about this, that, you know, artists bring in things from their life. Like, and if your life is... you know, downtown, oh, there goes your dog. If it's life in Brooklyn, then things from that are going to filter in. And if it's motherhood or if it's whatever, they're going to filter in. And so I saw that and I thought, oh, I wondered if it was an ode to your mom or if you had a baby. So there you go. It all makes sense. Yeah. Well, now I've got to go look through the, I have to see words in the other ones. Do all of them have words?
No, they don't.
Okay.
Four or five of them.
Okay, so I won't go crazy trying to find it in all of them. I'm like, I can't find it in this one. Yeah, those are so lovely. And then I wrote about the pinhole ones that you did.
Blind worlds.
Yeah, and I found, I don't know where I found those, but I was like out loud, I gasped because I just love them so much. And so was that's a knitting needle through paper?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
Back to front, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, why? Why did you do those? How did it start? Were you just fooling around and stumbled upon that? Or do you have someone blind in your world? Or they're just so elegant and amazing.
No. Thank you. I don't know. Yeah, well, there's always, like I said, that connection between drawing and craft for me, and how to address that. And then
the work itself is,
well, calling it Blind Worlds, it's just about, I think that was my sort of delayed response to coming to Hawaii. And sort of fumbling through learning about colonialism and being here and being a visitor here and trying to spend a little time figuring out those dynamics, the cultural dynamics, and
Yeah, I always wondered what that was about, that series. I'm so glad I have you on here. Okay, I think I've covered every single series and said, what's that? What was that? What was that? Okay, so what was that show that's coming up that you were talking about? And when is that and where?
Oh, it's called Material Flip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's myself and Marjorie Amdor, who's in Philadelphia. Diana Bomback, she's in Wyoming. Wow. And Josephine Keshmael from... We work at the same gallery in Auckland, New Zealand, and Michelle Forsyth, who's in Toronto, actually.
Yeah, I recognize her name.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And E.O. Palmer, who's also amazing, who teaches at Washington State.
And you organized this?
Yeah. It was initially Michelle's idea, and we kind of went back and forth with it, and I decided to just give it a go and put the work in one space and see what happens.
Wow. When does it open?
March 4th.
March 4th. And when does it run till? Past
April,
March 4th.
Past March 4th.
Okay. I'll look.
April 9th.
Okay. I'll put all of this information at the bottom of the post so that people can get all the info and know where it is and when and everything. So that is great. And then I always ask people too, like, is there anything that you wish was next for you? Is there anything like any dream projects or a city that you would love to show in? Or have you always wanted to do a mural? Or is there anything that is like the dream project?
Oh, gee.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot with that one. I can cut out the awkward pause while you think. Yeah. Well, I know that's what's so exciting about your portfolio. It's just like, I can't wait to see what you do next.
Well, thank you. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to New Zealand for a show in July.
Wow.
Again. And we'll see. I still sort of have a couple different plans in the works for sabbatical.
Oh, when is that coming?
This fall.
Oh.
I'd like to go to Japan. We'll see if I can swing it.
Have you been there before?
I haven't. And there's a workshop there that you can take at a place called the Awagami Factory and Workshop, and you can learn making washi.
Oh, my
gosh.
Handmade
paper from the ground up, actually going out and cutting down the plants and
wow,
boiling them and all the different steps.
Okay.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
It. Yeah.
And then how long would you be there?
It's a 10-day workshop.
Oh, that sounds so amazing. Well, I'm going to keep an eye out and see if you end up doing that. So you're going to New Zealand. We're both coughing here. We've got dogs barking, and we've both got a frog in our throat. So you're going to New Zealand because you're in a show there, too?
Yeah, I work with Sanderson Contemporary Gallery in Auckland. Yeah, I have a show there in July.
And then will you do some traveling while you're down there?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I've been around the North Island a lot, and we still haven't made it to the South Island. I'd like to go to the South Island.
Well, there you go. Maybe. I went when I was a teenager. It was my parents' dream trip was to go to New Zealand, and they took three teenagers with them. And now as a parent, I'm like, what were you thinking? Like, why didn't you guys just go without us? And they're like, we don't know. We don't know. But we did the whole thing, and but we just complained the whole way. So that's nice. Is your son going to go with you this summer?
He will probably not, because he has so many, his social calendar's pretty full.
There you go. Well, that's kind of nice, actually. You don't have to take a teenager with you. You can just go and do your thing. Well, I can't wait to see where you end up in the fall.
Yeah, well, I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, I would love to know. I mean, those courses are just so... Especially when somebody's so creative and it's just like, ooh, when you learn a new skill like that, it's like, okay, off you go. Who knows where you'll end up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but that's awesome. Okay, yeah, keep me posted. Okay, so the only thing we have left to do is the not-so-speedy speed round.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So I'm the one that makes it
Let
not
me
speedy.
Have it.
Yep, okay. So this is to prepare me for Hawaii, a few of these. Pina colada or Mai Tai?
Mai Tai.
Oh, really? I've never had one. I always just go pina colada. Okay.
Yeah, Mai Tai.
I'll try Mai Tai. This might be a very hard one for you to answer. If you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live?
Oh, yeah.
I know, right?
Here or Ireland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But I like it here.
I like it there, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Worst summer job you ever had as a teenager?
Worst summer job?
Yeah.
I worked at my uncle's A&W root beer stand. As, you know, in, like, American Graffiti, the waitresses on roller skates.
Were you on roller skates?
I wasn't on roller skates, no, but...
But to the car windows.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty bad.
Yeah, I can imagine. We had one of those in our town too, but not on roller skates. But yeah, to the window. I never worked there. I worked at Dixie Lee Chicken.
Yeah.
Probably equally as bad.
I was so clumsy.
And you were shy, right? That must have been a nightmare.
My uncle was pretty nice about me breaking root beer mugs and... sticking the mop handle up into the rotating ceiling fan.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I think it was bad because I was bad. I think 15.
Yeah. So funny. I kind of wish that you'd been on roller skates.
You know, me too.
Oh, the picture in my head right now. Oh, dear. Okay. And now this is for me. This is for me coming to Hawaii.
Okay.
And be honest. Have you ever seen a shark?
Yeah.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Were you in the water?
But no. And I guess it was the kind that doesn't bite.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger shark?
No, they bite. Lemon?
It's another, maybe it's a different kind, but yeah, they were right next to the shore, and everybody ran and got out, and my husband, who's, water savvy, was just like, no big deal.
Oh my God. I would not be that person.
But never in the water.
Okay. Okay. I'll just drink more Mai Tais.
Yeah.
That'll keep me loosened up.
Well, Maui has the most sharks lately.
I know.
Most shark sightings lately.
I know. When Charlie, the first time we went, he wanted to go surfing. Yeah. I was a wreck. And he was only 7. And, apparently we're on the side of Maui where they never see sharks and whatever. I'm like, yeah, it's water. They can go wherever they want. And so Charlie's like, are you going to surf? And I was like, no, I'll just sit on the beach and watch you. I was on shark watch. I was like looking for fins. And then there's a photographer taking pictures of the kids surfing. And Charlie's on a wave that's breaking. And this guy clearly did not have children because he says to me, yelling full force, oh my God, look at that. No. He goes, look what's in the wave behind him. And I was just like, what? And it was a school of blue tangs. And it was beautiful. And in the photo, you can see them all swimming behind him in the wave. Beautiful, beautiful. But you don't yell at a mother, oh my God, look what's in the wave behind him.
No, never.
That's when you need another Mai Tai. It's just like, oh, dear God.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, okay. Well, you haven't made me feel better, but...
Stay away from murky water.
Okay,
I know
can
that.
Do that. I can do that. And we never go in the morning or at, dusk or anything.
Right.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
go whale watching.
Yeah, there you go. On a nice, safe boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. that was it. That was my last question, shark-related.
All right.
Yeah. I'm so happy to have finally, asked you all my ins and outs, and now I can post, I think I covered everything. I'm going to be able to, basically put your whole website on my site. And, please keep me posted about the fall, because I cannot wait to hear what you do next.
I will. It was really great to meet you.
Yeah, you too. And if I was on your island, I'd come by for a drink. But alas, I'm on a different island. But I will be thinking of you. Yes, exactly. You've got dogs barking.
It's my dog.
Yeah, mine's about to start again. Thank you so much. And I will. Now that we know each other, we can talk again soon.
Yeah, I hope so.
Me too. Okay, take care.
See you sometime soon.
Okay.
You too. Thanks.
Bye. Oh, I really wish I hadn't asked about the sharks. I am, however, really glad that I asked Wendy about all of her amazing work. You can see everything that we talked about on my site, thejealouscurator.com, right now, along with links to all of her upcoming shows and all of the things we talked about. Thanks so much to Wendy for chatting with me. I would thank our dogs for not barking, but that makes no sense at all, given the amount of barking that was going on. Big thank yous to both Saatchi Art and Thrive Mastermind for supporting this Hawaiian episode. And of course, as always, thank you for listening. I'm going to be here for the next week and a bit with my family, so there won't be an episode next weekend, but I've got a really good one lined up for you the week after that. There will be more Art for Your Ear on Saturday, February 17th. See you then.